Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Hey everybody, today on the episode we talk a little bit about sexual assault and things like that, so just a bit of a warning for you if that kind of stuff is triggering or will cause you to be upset, so just be careful.
Yeah, proceed with caution. And
and if this one's not for you, then we'll see you on the next one.
America needs a tidal wave of the old-time religion.
I have sinned against you.
How dare you!
We have no need to doubt God.
The heart of Babylon is preparing the nations to receive the Antichrist.
I didn't even build that house with money from the church. I built it with money from my book.
I don't make this stuff up.
Repenting of your sin.
It is a moral issue.
They got together and swore a pact to the devil.
I just enjoy seeing people worship, praising God.
Hey everybody, welcome to Believe It or Not. I'm Trevor Pullman.
And I'm Damian Depping.
And today we're talking,
What are we talking about today?
We're talking about preacher scandals. Big scandals that have happened with preachers and other like big kind of religious figures, but I think mostly
the preachies.
Mostly the preachies. So I figure we'll start early. We'll start in the 1800s.
Oh, we're going
way far back.
Okay.
Our first guy on the list is a guy named Henry Ward Beecher.
What did Mr. Beecher do?
Well, Mr. Beecher was a touring preacher. He was known for supporting the abolition of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
He emphasized God's love. That was his main dealio.
Okay, so not too bad so far.
Not too bad so far. After abolition, he was very big in support of like women's suffrage, women's rights.
All right.
Fun fact about him is his sister, Harriet Beecher Stowe, is the person who wrote the novel Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the whole family was abolitionists.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he had an affair with a woman.
That's it.
He had an affair, but he got arrested for it because at that time...
It was illegal?
It was illegal to commit adultery.
Okay.
But he was also very outspoken against like free love, the free love movement.
Yeah.
And the person he had an affair with knew Victoria Woodall. And so she was the one who called him out for it because he was really against like free love and women having the right to, you know...
Yeah.
Choose whether or not they want to be married or choose whether or not they want to have sex with who they choose.
Yeah.
So as like progressive as he was also not progressive in that area.
Yeah.
And so she was the one who called him out, and then he was arrested, and it was like one of the first big scandals with a well-known preacher.
Yeah.
So that guy, Henry Ward Beecher.
I mean, as far as these things go, I feel like this is a pretty tame one.
Yeah, it's a tame one. Big scandal at the time, though. So
shouldn't have been.
Shouldn't have
been.
Because
I'm sure they were doing much worse things.
Yeah.
Much worse.
I mean, it is the hypocrisy of it, but yeah, for sure. And then there was Amy McPherson. This is in the 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
So she was a big Pentecostal-y type preacher. She started the denomination Foursquare. I don't know if you've ever seen those churches around.
Yeah, I've heard of that, yeah.
Yeah, so she started that denomination. She went missing in May of 1926, and people thought she was kidnapped, and then she was kind of declared dead by a lot of people. Like, they thought she was dead, and then she came back, and said that she was kidnapped and she was abducted. She said that she was approached and they asked her to pray for their child, and then they threw her in a van and drove away. But really what a lot of people thought happened, and she was arrested for this, is that she faked it all to just
generate kind of.
Yeah, because she got very popular after this, but she was just in a cabin with her lover.
But they don't actually know?
Yeah, well, they're pretty sure. Like, she was arrested for it, and there is a lot of evidence. A lot of people saw her around.
Because the law never makes a mistake.
Yeah, it's true. No, you're right.
So this could go either way.
This could go either way,
So far, these controversies, Trev.
I don't know. and then in the year in review, we talked a little bit about Billy Graham.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another controversy.
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah, in 1994, it came out that in 1972, after a prayer breakfast, he sat down in Nixon's office and talked about how pornography was because of the Jews.
Yep.
And that all the bad things in the world were because of the Jews. And he didn't like the Jews, but he couldn't tell the world what he thought about them, because a lot of the Jews support him, so he has to keep it a secret. And so in 1994, it came out that he said this, but he denied it. Even though it was on tape, but the tapes weren't public. So it came out that he said this, but people couldn't listen to it. So he just said it was a false story, and that it was obviously somebody else on the recordings.
When did the tape come out?
2002.
Okay, so...
Yeah, so that's when he was like...
you cut me.
But he said he didn't remember saying it. He didn't even remember having those feelings. He said he's always loved the Jewish people. He can't believe that he said that.
What a fucking just like weak ass cop out that is.
Yeah.
I don't remember having those feelings. I wouldn't have said that.
Doesn't seem like me. I should say that if I get in trouble at work for something.
Doesn't seem like me. Should we take a moment to thank the Jewish people for giving us pornography?
Then? Yes, yes. If it was you, I'm not saying it is the Jewish people but that gave us pornography. We appreciate it. it is very handy.
Hey, okay, I see what you did there.
Mm-hmm. Jim Baker. You know Jim Baker?
Yeah. Let's talk about Jim Baker.
Let's talk about Jim Baker. He was an evangelist, televangelist, some would say.
TV man.
I feel like he's the guy that whenever somebody does a parody of a televangelist, they're doing Jim Baker. Yeah. And Tammy Faye Baker.
Yeah, his Jim wife. And Tammy.
Yeah. Jay Baker, his son, was on...
This, okay. Yeah. Wait, I think this is the one with the prostitute, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay. No, sorry. It was his secretary. Jimmy Swagger was with the prostitute.
Oh, right. Swagger was. Yeah. Baker was. Okay.
Baker was, he raped his secretary and then paid her off.
Okay, that's worse.
A lot of people don't know that because he's still a televangelist. And a lot of people say it was an affair, but no, he raped her. Like, it's not like, had a bad...
extramarital affair.
Yeah, no. And then paid her off for that. So he's a friggin' creep. But Jay Baker was on Marc Maron. WTF with Marc Maron. He was talking about how it was actually Jim Baker that came up with the idea for the 700 Club. Mm-hmm. And he was one of the producers, but Pat Robertson liked the idea so much that he decided to host it. But in Jim Baker's idea was it was more of like a Carson, it was going to be like a late night talk show type thing, but like the Christian version. And then Pat Robertson kind of took it over. And he also talked about how when the stuff came out with his secretary, Jimmy Falwell went to his office and basically blackmailed him. Like, if you don't give us this amount of money, then we're going to expose you.
Yeah.
And but then Jerry Falwell ended up exposing him and said that he was a vile man and stuff like that, even though it was Jerry Falwell that was like... kind of pulling all the strings.
Yeah.
But yes, and he also, the other thing was that he was stealing a lot of money from people and
a lot of embezzlement.
Lot of embezzlements and stuff like that. So he ended up spending some time in jail, but he is currently selling food buckets.
What's
buckets
a food bucket?
Of food.
Like KFC buckets of chicken?
No, like buckets of soup. He sells these soup buckets. and he tells his audience of old people that the end times are coming and they have to prepare
by getting a bucket of soup.
Getting these buckets of soup.
Okay.
And he said that if you don't have room for it, you can just like put a board over it and then put a tablecloth over it, and you got a table.
Put a board over it. How big of a bucket is this?
They're huge buckets.
Oh, are those like these like 5 gallon buckets?
Yeah,
like at restaurants and stuff.
Yeah, and
of soup.
Of soup. Yeah. There was one where it was like a Mexican style soup, and they brought out a Mexican baby and said, "Oh, the Mexican baby likes your soup. Likes the soup." And they also at one point recently said that if you don't buy the soup, your grandchildren will go to hell. He's a good guy, I guess is what I'm saying.
Why would you buy a bucket of soup? Something that's probably very perishable in that form, when you could alternatively just buy cans of condensed soup.
Yeah.
That will have a much longer shelf life.
Yeah.
And probably taste better.
Yeah. Because you're preparing for the end times, and it's all the...
and Jesus said, you can only bring your buckets of soup.
Only buckets. Cans not good on my watch.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Jimmy Swaggart.
Yeah.
Let's talk Jimmy Swaggart. One time I was in youth group, and this guy was speaking. He was from a Bible college, right? And they would send groups to different youth groups to like... So he basically did a tour, and this guy he's like, as Jimmy Swaggart once said,
and then everyone's like, ooh.
He's like, I know he has a past. It's like, no, he has just a present. Like, and he's just a creep. Like, we don't need to hear what Jimmy Swaggart has to say about anything. But did you ever see the video of him crying in apologies?
I have.
Yeah,
yes.
Apologizing. Yeah. So he was caught with prostitutes. On many occasions.
Wasn't...
The thing is, I was told as a kid,
yeah,
because he was pulled over in 91. This is after the crying thing. He was pulled over, and he had a prostitute in the car with him.
Yeah.
I was told at the time that he was caught with a pornographic magazine.
Oh, really?
I have no idea why I was told that. Like,
maybe it makes it seem less bad than it is, kind of thing.
Yeah, or maybe it's so that I don't have look at porn. I don't
maybe,
know. Like,
so you don't know what
I was
prostitutes
only 10
are.
Years old. Like, I feel like at 10 years old, I knew the concept of a prostitute.
Did you?
I didn't know. Like,
I don't know. I don't know if I don't know if I did when I was 10.
Well, yeah, I mean, think I'd seen Pretty Woman.
I don't know if I'd seen Pretty Woman.
No, Milk Money wasn't out yet.
But even if you had seen it, did you necessarily know?
I knew that she was paid to hang out with him.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to pay people to hang out with you.
That's fair.
Yeah, it's bad.
Wasn't the whole thing he said that it was like, I did not have sex with them. All he did was he just watched them do pornographic things and then
maybe
masturbated to
them?
Yeah,
that probably. Yeah, his whole speech is the I have sinned speech, and then he like tearfully.
I've sinned.
He had to step down as the head of the Jimmy Swaggart Ministries, which is funny. I think once the guy who's the name of the ministry or company steps down, you just change the name. I don't think you keep it going with
that. The funny thing about that is it's like at the end of the day, it's such a victimless crime in that way too. It's just like,
yeah,
but because it's such an integral part of who that kind of whole thing is, it's like, come on.
That's the thing with a lot of these is that it's more about the fact that it's hypocrisy. Oh yeah. So with Jimmy Swaggart too, after so the 88 incident, it was the Eye of Sin speech, and then 91, he just told people at the worship center that he worked at that it's the Lord told me it's flat out none of your business.
Oh, okay.
It's funny what the Lord tells people.
That's funny. I think what, going back to that about it, the hypocrisy, I think it's also, because we talked about the first thing we talked about, the guy who just had an affair.
Yeah.
And it's just fairly small potatoes, but like something like this, this is a guy who's making millions of dollars off of people.
Yeah.
With this stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a hypocrisy, but it's also like, you're making a lot of money.
Yeah. And next on our list, Ted Haggard.
Ted Haggard.
Do you know Ted Haggard?
No.
Okay.
No, I probably should, but, you know.
Have you seen Jesus Camp?
Yeah.
He is one of the preachers in that.
Oh, okay.
He's the creepy guy who, like, points at the camera and...
So you mean all of them?
Yeah. Yeah, they're all creepy. But he's very homophobic, I think, in that movie. But after that movie came out, a man was watching television, and he saw Ted Haggard, and he said, "Wait a second, that homophobic man is the guy who pays me to have sex with him, and also buys meth off me."
Oh, jeez!
So he came forward, and Ted Haggard definitely denied it at first, and then eventually admitted that.
Oh, he admitted?
Yeah, that he has bought meth off that man. And he has had sex with him.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And then he became, like, his, I think his wife stood by him. He, you know, went, stepped down from all his ministries and stuff like that. And started really doing, like...
more meth?
More meth, probably. But he, people liked him for a while again after a bit. Because he started talking about, I think he was more pro-gay after that. But then, like, later on, it came out that he was also having an affair with an underage kid.
Oh.
Like, a teenager. So it's like...
Yeah.
It was already bad because he was so hypocritical, but then it's like, then no, you're just a predator. Like, yeah. I also saw an interview with him years ago that was Richard Dawkins was interviewing him. He started talking about evolution, and Richard Dawkins basically just started explaining evolution to him. He didn't, he wasn't being judgmental or anything. And then all of a sudden he got security to escort Dawkins off his property.
Okay.
And as he's leaving, he's like, "Sorry, I don't know. I don't understand what I did." And he's like, "You call my family animals, you get off my property." Just because he was explaining evolution. He took that as a personal insult that he was just explaining the science. Yeah. Call my kids animals. He's like, "When did I call you?" Oh.
To be fair, this guy is a bit of an animal.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what his kids are like, but he's an animal.
Yeah. When you're you know, having sex with minors and then smoking meth and then lying about it, you know, that makes you a little bit of an animal.
Yeah. Mark Driscoll, this one isn't sexual, really. So that'll give us a break. So Mark Driscoll, we talked about him a bit on the Emerging Church episode.
Yeah.
He's the one I referred to as a douche canoe.
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
He's a douche canoe, but he was called out. He was the pastor of Mars Hill Church in Seattle, and he was called out by other former pastors of being, like, verbally abusive, things like that.
Yeah.
There's rumors that he was, like, stealing money from the church. He now has another mega church in Arizona, because he was on the news, like, last year or a couple years ago, crying and saying he's so sorry for everything he's done.
Someone gave him a platform to come on TV and just...
Yeah, it was on, like, NBC or ABC or something like that. He was being interviewed. And I remember...
ABC's... I don't know. That's okay.
Yeah. But somebody posted it on Facebook and said, "I think he's actually sorry." I'm like, well, he's... No, you've seen this 1,000 times. How have you not seen this 1,000 times where, like, a big famous preacher does something bad, goes on TV, cries about it, and then we all forgive him and it's all good?
Yeah. I always hate that. My thing is, it's less about... What I want to say here is it's less about people saying, like, whether or not he's sorry or not, but I find it such an interesting thing where it's just like people have to believe. It's like, I think he's really sorry, or it's like, I think it really means. I was listening to a Reply All recently, and they were doing a story where it was about a court case, and the guy on trial who they ended up revealing later on that he was autistic, but they didn't know at the time.
Yeah.
And one of the big reasons he was convicted was because, like, he showed no remorse, he had no emotion, and it's just like, okay, so that none of that is proof of anything.
Yeah, exactly.
It is just you kind of being like, I have to make sure that my feelings are validated. Yeah,
that was a big thing on this current season of Serial.
About not being able to show enough remorse or repentance or something like that. It's just like...
Yeah, like the one guy who got his sentence reduced because he wrote a big letter to the judge about how, like, personally thanking the judge for all he's done and
which
stuff.
Which is insane.
Yeah, and it's like in the interview, he's like, yeah, well, you have to do that. You have to show the judge that it's about him because he has a huge ego. And it's like, that's insane.
And that's what people want. Yeah. They want their egos kind of, I don't know. I find a lot of times, more often than not, when you see a big apology like that, they always are so insincere.
Yeah.
And most of the time, I prefer them not make those apologies.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, let's not have it about you.
Like, it's just like a lot of those comedian apologies, too. Most of the time, just fucking don't apologize. Just let it go.
Yeah, exactly.
Just let it go. Ugh. Like Kramer's. Michael Richards apology.
That was so bad.
Such a bad, insincere apology. It's just like, just shut up.
Yeah.
You're making it worse.
Oh, my God. Ugh.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, Andy Savage. He was a pastor at High Point
Macho Man Andy
Church.
Savage?
I think so, yeah. I think he was a macho man. He looks pretty macho.
Does he?
He was, there were some articles that referred to him as a victim of the Church 2 movement or the Me Too movement.
The Church 2 movement?
Do you know Church 2?
No.
There's a play currently running in Toronto called Church 2. Hashtag Church 2. But it's, basically after the Me Too movement had been out for a while, Church 2 started trending because people are trying to say, like, it's not just Hollywood, it's not just these things, like, this happens in the church as well.
Oh, okay. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's coming forward.
Yeah, exactly,
yes.
Yeah. So Andy Savage was, his church had 2,000, people who would attend every week. But when he was a youth pastor, or he might have been, just interning as a youth pastor or whatever.
Yeah.
But he drove a woman or a girl home. I shouldn't say woman. She was a girl. I think she was 15 or 16. Pulled into like a dark street and molested her. Like got her to take off her top and stuff like that. And years later, she was thinking about it. And she's like, wow, like looked him up and realized he was like a well-known pastor now.
Yeah.
Emailed him and said, do you remember doing this to me? And didn't get any response. And kept, like, tried to contact the church to talk to him.
Yeah.
No response, so she ended up writing an article about it. There's a very hard-to-watch CNN piece about... So when he resigned from his church or took a hiatus, I don't even know if he fully resigned.
Yeah, a leave of absence.
He sits down and he's like, in my youth, I had a lapse of judgment. I made a huge mistake. And he tells the whole story from his perspective. And he gets a standing ovation from his church.
Oh, my God.
For being so honest. And then you see her response watching the video just crying and being like, this guy assaulted me. And then he gets a standing ovation.
Yeah, this is like the whole Judge Kavanaugh bullshit.
Yeah.
Too. Same kind of thing.
Just
fucking this bullshit crocodile tear piece of garbage. Just like, well, that's just what it is. Just spinning everything to fit their narrative.
Yeah.
No accountability.
Yeah. It's
fucking bullshit.
Again, I don't want a fucking apology. I just
yeah. just go away. We just want you to go
just
away.
Leave.
Yeah,
just leave.
We don't need an explanation. We just need you to not be in our face anymore.
Yeah.
So okay, so Jack Schaap is another guy. This guy, I used to hate watch him. I loved hate watching this guy. He was one of those obnoxious right wing. I don't know if you can go farther right wing than him. Women cannot speak in the church.
Okay, so very, wow.
Yeah, he went on ABC once or something like that. They were interviewing him, and they're like, why don't you think that women should speak in church? And he's like, I don't think women should speak in church. God thinks women shouldn't speak in church. And then he like read that verse from Timothy, which does say, you know, yeah, that's what it says. He had one thing about taking your teenage daughters to his office and he'll straighten them out.
Oh.
Yeah, that clip came out after.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, like it was on his, because they would broadcast all their sermons and stuff. It was a mega church. Like the church he was at was the First Baptist Church of Hammond, started by Jack Hiles. It was one of the biggest, it was the first mega church in America.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he married Jack Hiles' daughter. And then after Jack Hiles died, he was made the pastor. Yeah. But then he started having an affair with a 16-year-old girl. And he was caught.
Seems to be a common theme amongst these guys.
Somebody, I think, on one of the elders or somebody on the worship team or somebody picked up his phone because he left his cell phone on the pulpit and just like meaning to return it to him.
Yeah.
And then a naked picture of a teenage girl popped up in a text.
Oh, wow.
And then it came forward. They went to the police right away. Like the staff of the church went to the police right away and fired him right away. But even, I watched the stream of the first service after everything happened, where just everybody was like, confused of what to do next.
Yeah.
Like, but on, and you know, like, I don't agree with anything this church preaches, but also good for them, I guess, for not covering it up and immediately going to the police, immediately firing him, and immediately saying, like, this is his fault. There's no, like, don't put any blame on anybody else but him. He is a bad guy. Like, to immediately say that about, like, the senior pastor that, I don't know.
I mean, it's funny that you have to say good on them because at the same time, it's just like, isn't that what you're supposed to
do? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, we shouldn't, like,
I'm not going to be, like, high-fiving these people for...
Good for you for obeying the law.
Thank you for calling out a pedophile for abusing a child.
Yeah, but you see so much of all these people. Yeah. It's like, it's never the churches that call people out. It's
always someone else.
They're called out, and then the church has to react.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But he's a piece of garbage. Do I have anybody else? There's Eddie Long. That's just gross. Eddie Long was a pastor of a mega church, and he was called out in 2010 for sexual contact with underage boys. Never fired from his church. Died as the senior pastor and was still like held up as a great guy by the church until the day he died.
Yeah, a real great guy.
Yeah. And and then just a more recent one is Bill Hybels. The Willow Creek Community Church is a very large church. I remember reading literature from them as like textbooks and stuff when I was in Bible college. And he was called out very recently and stepped down in October of this year, or of 2018, after allegations of years of sexual misconduct against like women on his staff and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, that's all I have.
A lot of shitty dudes in power.
A lot of shitty dudes in power, I guess, is what the episode title. Dudes in power, except I can't swear in an episode title. But
what can you do? You could put a few stars in there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hey guys, before we get to the Christian rock lyric of the week, we have a special presentation, an interview with Marie Delafont of the Everyone's Agnostic podcast. Trevor sat down with her for a little while and they had a little conversation. Do you want to say anything before we get into it?
No, I guess I'd say check out their podcast and take a listen to the interview.
We hope you enjoy. And if you guys like this kind of stuff, let us know and we'll try and do more of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey everybody, it's Trevor here, and I'm sitting down with Marie Delafont. Did I pronounce that right?
Sure, why not? It's totally made up, so.
Okay, great. I guess we're not sitting down together. We're talking over the worldwide interwebs on Skype. Yeah, so you're with the Everyone's Agnostic podcast with Cass Midgley. Tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. So, I joined Everyone's Agnostic as the manager in October of 2018, and then pretty shortly after became the co-host as well. And so I've been working on it since, God, now it's been, 3 or 5 months?
Okay.
I think, yeah. So, and Everyone's Agnostic has been around since, I think we're coming up to, 5 years this summer.
Okay, nice.
So yeah. Cass started this podcast many years ago with his friend Bob Pondillo. So they started the podcast, and it's basically they interview the people that they know to talk about just how people have deconverted or left their faith or have progressed out of it, basically just to talk about recovering from religion, which ironically is another podcast, not run by us, but they're called Recovering from Religion and also a very good podcast. So that's basically what we do. And the reason I got interested in it is because of the tone that it takes. I've been deconverted for over 10 years now, but I only started recovering from religion maybe 7 years ago or something. And I was always looking for resources because where do you even go after you've left your faith? There's just so much to unpack. And I found a lot of really angry white atheist men who had a lot that they wanted to talk about. And I'm very happy that they're there. I'm happy that they're talking. That's great. But I didn't really resonate with the angry. I'm obviously very angry, but I seek to kind of come into a little bit more of a nuanced perspective of things, and to be a bit more compassionate to my former self, to be compassionate to the people that I was with when I was in religion. And a lot of those podcasts or those books or those people didn't really have that tone, and it just turned me off. And Everyone's Agnostic really sought out to be compassionate and to understand things in a very humanitarian sort of way. So that's what drew me to that. And I was a guest a couple of years ago, and then I met Cass last fall at a retreat that they did, and basically forced myself upon him. And now he's begged me to never leave him. And so I think things are going well. So that's the long and short of it. That's our podcast.
Nice. I like that. Somebody was asking me the other day about mine, and they're like, are you an angry Bill Maher type? And I was like, no, I mean, there's enough of those.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I come from too, where I want it to be more about just letting people know that they're not alone, and letting people know that there's other people kind of that have gone through the same struggles or are going through the same struggles. And just to kind of have that other voice out there of we're still trying to figure things out too. So I like that a lot.
Plus, I think that I'm actually gonna listen to your show after we're all done, because when I did listen to it getting ready for this, I was like, you know what, they could go a lot of ways with this conversation, but I like the way that you went. It was just very generally respectful, but mostly factual, and not an overabundance of just being a jackass, which I really liked. And so I just like getting all that information and then being allowed to have my feelings on my own time in my own body instead of having to witness someone else have their feelings. So anyway, I like your show.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. And I enjoy yours quite a bit too. Just thinking, I was listening to it, and I think we have a kind of a different approach where you guys, the two of you, sound very professional. where me and Damien are kind of like our two silly boys. and like we had a review the other day. I posted it on Instagram and stuff, but someone was like, the silliness of the presenters makes you ponder whether or not you should listen to it. Uh-huh. I think you guys have a very non-silly approach to it. But I wonder how your viewer engagement has been. Actually, I should preface that with like me and Damien also both have other podcasts that are like more comedy podcasts. Uh-huh. Okay. And we don't really have the same kind of user like listener engagement that we've had with Believe It or Not. And I feel like it's because of the topics or the when you're talking about religion, people really kind of respond to it.
Yeah.
How has that been for you?
Well, I mean, again, I've only been a part of it for 5 months or so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess there's a lot of questions there. I know a lot of people have strong opinions about what our show should be. And they do let us know. Like if they don't like, some people don't like me, and that's been hard for me to swallow.
Yeah.
That like they, which is, I really like me. Like I know I'm not for everyone. Like especially white cis toxic masculine men.
Yeah.
They're not gonna really like me or an assortment of other people. So like people give us feedback about stuff and some of it is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's, people might call us out on some stupid shit that we said because we have a limited perspective or we were just letting our lips fly. And, and I like it when they do that and they give us feedback and it becomes more of an engaged, like a live dialogue with, the listeners. But then there's some feedback that's like, hey, I think you should do this differently. And we look at each other and we're like, do you want to do that? No, do you? No, we're not going to do that then.
But
that's just feedback. But as far as listener engagement, like, I see a lot of engagement on like our private Facebook group. Like people will listen to the episodes and then like write about it on a post and kind of like start a discussion with people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how else to answer that. It's a complex question.
Yeah, it is. Today our podcast is about preacher scandals.
Ooh.
Do you remember kind of any scandals or whatever, maybe from growing up in the church or anything like that just stuck out in your mind as like
Yeah, and I'm going to have to, like, be selective about the words that I use. yes, when I was in high school, and this would have been, like, late 90s.
Okay.
I was in a church youth group, and one of our youth leaders was this guy that I'll just call E. His name is E. And he was our youth leader, and he was hella hot. He was crazy hot, and everyone was in love with him. All the kids are in love with him. The girls are in love with him, and anyone who likes him is in love with him. And he also happened to be a part of an a cappella group, a Christian a cappella group that was generally famous in the Midwest United States region at that time. And so he was a big deal. Like he had a heavy presence, and I was like in love with him and super psyched that he was my youth leader and stuff. And then one day we come into youth group and like our parents are in the youth area, like sitting with us because the youth pastor invited them all. And we all sit down and E is in the front of the room with our youth pastor. And they proceed to tell us that E had an inappropriate relationship with one of the high schoolers.
My God.
Yeah, it was a legal in the sense that high schooler was already a senior. She was already 18 years old. But obviously, the power dynamic was there and the church dynamic of everything was there. And so anyway, he got hung out in front of us and publicly shamed in front of us and his dirty laundry aired. Yeah, it devastated me for sure, and I know it's fucked up his life. I think he's still actually Christian, but he's had a lot of judgment follow him throughout his life, and I don't know where he is now and how he's doing, but I know that was a really big deal, and that I was very jealous of that 18-year-old girl.
Yeah. And that probably, yeah, that was probably gossip in the church for years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Can't you see you're not making Christianity better? You're just making rock and roll worse.
Do you like swing music?
Do I have to say yes or
no?
Okay, no. Not, it doesn't do anything for me.
The only good thing that Christian music has ever done is bring back ska music. That was Christian.
That was a good thing?
That was us. Yeah. Okay. Ska? Oh, so good. Okay. Swing music, they tried too, and there was a band called The W's.
The W's.
They were bad. So let's here's some lyrics. She was walking in the garden one day when a snake slithered round her feet, followed me right over to this tree, and I'll give you something good to eat. I don't know. Are you sure? I don't think it's right. It doesn't matter. Just open your mouth and take a tasty bite. She said to him, I think it's a sin, but boy, does it look ripe. He said to her, just take my word, and I promise that you'll see the light. Why don't you skiddly-dee? Because I don't want to see your face around here no more. Why don't you skiddly-dee? Because this is now and that was before. Because you are the devil and the devil is bad. Hey, you are the devil and the devil is bad. Hey, you are the devil and the devil is bad. Hey, you are the devil and the devil is bad.
Skiddly-dee, you are the devil and the devil is bad.
Oh, sorry. The last line should have been, you are the devil and you are bad.
And you are bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's
skiddly-dee.
Skiddly-dee, devil. So if you ever, this is a piece of advice for you. If you ever see the devil, just tell him to skiddly-dee.
The devil is bad.
Why don't you skiddly-do? Yeah, so that's, I don't know.
That's really dumb.
Yeah, that's
a dumb song.
Dumb song, but you know, very, he had another song. They had another song called Moses that I remember, basically about people in the Bible who were shitty people. And then, but God used them anyway, and it was supposed to encourage you. And I remember one of the lyrics was, how can God ever use me? I'm just a nobody. It's like,
oh, jeez.
Yeah, I love the positive outlook.
I'm just a nobody.
Well, look at me. Anyways, everybody, this has been, believe it or not, it's a sad one today.
But. So, sorry about that.
Sorry, everyone.
You know, when we talk about this stuff, sometimes it's gonna get sad.
Mm-hmm. And but next week it'll be a super happy episode. We'll probably talk about bunnies and rainbows and cats and dogs living together.
Total anarchy, man.
All right. Have a good week, everybody.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Work, 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 Skyman.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.